Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Rachel Roberts.
And Beverly Hills is back.
Yeah. Welcome to the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So today we're going to be talking about Vanderpump Rules and the return of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes, it's finally here.
AKA my Christmas. We're also going to be talking to the beautiful Cynthia Bailey about this season of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Do I bring it, honey?
And Margaret Joseph's The Powerhouse and Pigtails stopped by to help break down this wild Italy trip on New Jersey.
I know. Was it not insane? I mean, we sucked the life out of Italy. I mean, I think there's an X on all our faces when you get to the airport. We are not allowed back in.
And make sure to stick around because we're going to obviously share our roses and thorns of the week. And we have so many fan shout outs to get to.
So this week has been the longest week of my life.
Right. Same.
Because we had our holiday party on a Monday.
Can you believe, like, I'm asking the listeners, can you believe our company would schedule a holiday party for Monday?
Mm-hmm. That did not stop me from
raging.
Mm-hmm. I think it encouraged it. It was like, it's Monday, who cares?
Right. I just feel like we were set up for failure for the rest of the week.
Oh, completely. I'm still hungover. And on that note, here's some hair of the dog with news with booze.
Telephone, telegram, tell dream.
It's time for some news with booze. We're here with Laura Rosenfeld, who's an editor for The Daily Dish on BravoTV.com.
Yes. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi. Yeah, I'm here too.
I would never forget.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, we all know it's the most wonderful time of the year right now. And I'm not talking about the holiday season.
Oh.
I could see your faces. No, it's award season, you guys.
Oh, I didn't even think you were going there.
Yeah, well, surprises. Lots of surprises in store because we recently caught up with actress Jamie Chung at a Golden Globes event, a preview for the Golden Globe Awards. And so we surprised her ourselves with some baby news, not her own, but
you're pregnant.
What are you wearing? Did you know you're pregnant? Yeah.
I realized that after I said it. Not her own. We surprised Jamie Chung with Cameron Eubanks's baby news.
She didn't know?
No. And we have an adorable video on The Daily Dish that you have to check out because it is so super cute. Jamie Chung, as you might know, was a castmate of Cameron's when they were on The Real World San Diego in 2004.
Yes. My favorite season of The Real World. I lived in San Diego when it was on, so I think that's maybe why we all were obsessed with it. Mm. But Cameron on it was in love with Brad, if you remember, and she would get drunk and be like, I hate boys. I hate Brad. I need some loving. And I said that constantly to all my friends. Anyway.
That's amazing.
Yes, I'm sad that they don't keep in touch, apparently.
I know.
Does The Real World mean nothing?
Well, Jamie and Cameron keep in touch,
oh,
which
good.
Is
okay,
the important
okay.
thing, even though
she had a baby.
Well, they last talked about like a year ago, almost okay. 2 years ago now. So
they're cash friends.
Yeah.
They're still friends. Maybe they don't talk on the phone every day, but they're still friends.
Right. Cool.
But we surprised Jamie Chung with Cameron's baby news, and it was pretty great.
I've been, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. I just saw you a year ago and we were complaining about being so scared of having children, and now you've done it. I think it's the fears of like any young woman. Like, we weren't ones to, you know, when we got married we were like, oh yeah, we're getting married. It wasn't like, it's a dream to get married, and for us to like, it's a dream to have children. Like, we've never had those aspirations, and it's more of a fearful thing. Like, we don't want to screw up, and I think those were like, you know, the nature of our conversations, and but I'm so glad she did it, and you're going to be a wonderful mom, and I know your husband's going to be a great dad. I cannot wait to meet the baby. Congratulations, Cameron.
No, it's a really, really cute moment.
Aww. I hope she gets pregnant soon, because she's with Brian Greenberg.
Yes.
That actor.
They're such a cute couple.
Yeah. Greenberg. I'm looking him up. I just want to see what it looks like.
Thank you, Laura.
My pleasure.
And remember, you can find links to all the stories Laura talked about in the description.
He is cute.
It's time for us to talk about Vanderpump Rules. Boop, boop.
I'm excited because yet again, this onion we're peeling of Jax's infidelity never ends.
Never. Thought we were done? Nope.
No. But apparently that does not stop Jax and Brittany from constantly having sex.
Right. Okay. So we see that Brittany has this spa day she's planned for Jax because it's their anniversary. But mm-hmm. guess what? He cheated on her. So she goes with Stassi instead. And I actually feel like that's a smart move because I feel like Stassi is who you want when you need to talk shit about your ex-boyfriend.
Right. You want the person that would equally be as angry. And
she is like, you know, we've said before, like, Catherine, or no,
Kristen?
Shep said that Catherine was the patron saint of crazy women everywhere.
Of scorned women.
Of scorned women. And I feel like Stassi is too.
Yes.
Like, she's the ultimate ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She's, yeah.
But so I love how she was saying to Brittany, like, hey, I know it's tough when you're in this place and you don't know if you want to get back together or not, but, like, I'm not here to judge you. And then Brittany admits, well, we did have sex. And Stassi's like, you're fucking disgusting.
You're going to be so pissed at me.
What? What? You had sex last night. You're disgusting.
Because let's remember, when Stassi found out that they had sex, she trashed his apartment and drank all his Dom Perignon.
Right.
So they have different tactics
right.
for when you find out Jax has cheated on you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he enjoys Britney's better.
Yes, yes.
I cannot actually partake in angry sex. When I'm mad, my body
shuts down.
Prunes up.
I don't think I've ever had angry sex either, but like, I get makeup sex.
Okay.
Like, you have a whole fight, it's terrible. But then you get over it, and then you have sex to kind of be like, no, we're good.
Guys, this is like a for real thing.
No, this is a real thing. Dude, it's makeup sex. This thing exists. You know what I mean?
I got really mad that Jax said something to the effect of, like, I just wish Brittany would cheat on someone so we'd be even.
I just wish Brittany would hook up with somebody that way we can make it even. Because in my head, like, it would fix things.
Yeah.
Two wrongs don't make a right, Jax.
But it just shows you he knows what he deserves. I wonder if he's ever been cheated on.
We should have get him on the phone. Jax. I'm sure. I can't. That road doesn't just go one way.
Right. That guy's having beers and like mm-hmm. talking about what happened. So it was James Sandoval and Jax and talking about all the hate sex he's been having.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sandoval being like, I wish I could have sex. Like, we haven't done it in 2 months.
The entire episode, though, was like, why can't she ride me like a horse? Why aren't we having sex? Sex, sex, sex.
Even talks about it with Ariana's brother.
Could you imagine?
I mean, there's an issue, and it's a weird thing to talk to you about. It's like, yeah, sorry, this is awkward, but we haven't been having sex for a while, for like months.
Hey, man, like, no. Your sister's not boning me.
Can you, like, help?
Yeah.
Like, what? Can you help with this situation?
But it's just so funny because Sandoval's like,
I feel like I can't even come on to my girlfriend without literally feeling like a skeezy-ass creep.
But then it shows him, like, kissing her shoulder and then saying,
I don't just want to get my rocks off. Like, I want to, like, smell her. I want to see her face. I want to watch her have an orgasm.
Tom, I mean, like, I genuinely love his love for her. Like, when he said that super cheesy thing a few years ago, like, every time I look into her eyes, it's like taking a vacation. Like, I find Joe and Melissa Gorga very endearing. I
right.
love their love. But that.
Right. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah,
right.
But I, you know, from what I can see, they're good now. Every time I see them on Instagram, they're like being cute and kissing. And maybe the whip is working.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I think either way, the love is still there.
Right. The love isn't gone yet.
Right. But something exciting happened this week.
What?
Lala's back.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. I love my girl Lala.
Hashtag give them Lala. Have you looked at her Instagram? It's all hashtag give them Lala.
It should be... You make me wanna.
Right?
Lala.
I mean.
On the kitchen.
On the floor. We're referencing Ashley Simpson, if you don't already know.
Her dark days with the dark hair.
Yes. And when she was with Ryan Cabrera.
Ugh. What a time. We didn't know.
It was the golden age.
We didn't know we were in it.
I felt very like taken with Lala when she was having that conversation with Vanderpump. And Lisa was even like tearing up, I feel, listening to it.
So did you buy the tears? Because we know Lala is an actress.
Oh, she is, right. But yeah, I feel like she had a hard time last season.
Yeah, I agree, because I feel like at first I was like, I don't know, but then they flashed to everyone being like,
you're nobody.
Nobody's talking to you.
You're nobody.
Let's
sling some more d***ing Range Rovers. Yeah.
Asshole.
Somebody saying that to me, seriously, I would cry too. Like, right. That would be really hard to just be like, hey, how's it going? Go suck more dick. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, not the best.
So
no one cares about you.
Now she's admitting she has this rich boyfriend, but we still don't get to meet him?
Right. No, I don't think that'll ever happen on the show.
He's not on her Insta either, which, I mean, makes sense. But right. It's like, how private does a person need to be?
But I was so happy to see her back looking flawless. I feel like she's taken a step back on the makeup, and she looks better than ever.
I think you learn a lot seeing yourself on TV.
Yes.
Because all the girls, you know, we talked about it when we had the Betches on the podcast, that, like, you know, Sheena was crazy season one.
Mm-hmm.
And
she looked like an anime character.
Right. And the rest of the girls, too, have really refined it.
And that being said, anime characters are very pretty, but they're just a lot.
Yes. I think she would agree, though.
Yeah, it was just a lot of look.
Yeah, a lot of look.
Yuck. So Lala is back in our lives. Thank God.
Let's get a popping, Daddy.
Yes. And a popping it will be. James is going to be a promoter. I'm guessing she's going to help.
Well, I think we know who the entertainment will be when he's promoting.
Right. It might be James Kennedy.
Wicca, wicca, James Kennedy.
You just walk in. Shake that.
Yes.
Ah, the dream. Oh, my God. But we didn't even, like... Okay, so we interviewed Sheena. You guys can't listen to it yet because we're holding it. But she committed herself to this podcast.
Right. So if you don't know, which...
How can you not?
If you don't, I don't know what to say. But our theme song is Shake That.
Yeah. Do you want it?
Let me see you shake that.
Do you need it?
Let me see you shake that.
By...
Let me see you shake that.
Sheena and James Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Joint venture. So...
And Shay.
Yeah.
Mike.
Shay F. Kennedy.
Yeah, but he won't be making the new song.
Right. But anyway, you'll hear all about it when we do air the podcast, but just know, she's down for recording a song specifically for this podcast.
So what we're saying is, keep dreaming, because dreams come true.
Hashtag it's all happening.
Ooh, hashtag it's all happening. It is. Oh, my God. But I think we need to talk about the real meat and potatoes, or the beer cheese, if you will, of this episode.
Which is the WeHo Witches Party.
Welcome to the Witches of WeHo.
Am I stupid? What is a WeHo? What's
West
WeHo?
Hollywood.
Oh, I actually did know that. My friend says that all the time. But at first I was like, what?
WeHo, WeHo. It sounds weird.
Thank you for explaining it to me. Yes, so they throw Brittany a pajama party. But it's really a Jack's fucking sucks party.
Yes, there's a piñata, which I don't know if you noticed. It was a BravoTV.com press shot of Jack's on the piñata, which I found hilarious.
It's his cast image.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Right. Filled with alcohol, of course.
Yeah.
And then they do a whole witchcraft or witchy ceremony.
Right. Katie helps Brittany cast a spell.
Yes.
And it wasn't to physically hurt Jax, but it was like to cause him inner turmoil.
Going to put a spell on Jax for a scorned lover.
Write the name of your ex-lover on this candle.
So that somehow, someway, Jax can finally receive his karmic punishment that's been coming his way for a long time.
Right, it wasn't physical pain, but to like get revenge on his soul, kind of.
Right. Which, I'm down for that.
Right. But the whole time I kept thinking, she was like, write your ex-lover's name. Which I was like, it won't work because they're currently sleeping together.
Oh.
I don't know about witchcraft and rules.
I didn't know where you were going, where I was going, and I wrote this down. What is the difference between witchcraft and feng shui? Because remember when Shannon Bador was on the podcast, she was given what did she call it?
When she tells me to implement a cure... It happens.
When she's describing what the person had her do, it sounds very much like what they were doing on this episode.
Either way, shit is going down. Feng shui or witchcraft.
Right. So during the party, we keep flashing back to what the guys are doing, which is drinking, naturally. And Peter's there.
I know. I saw Peter. I was very happy. I miss his long hair. I know he cut it off like a couple of seasons ago, but I still miss it.
Right. Yeah. And Schwartz is talking about how all the girls are together. And he was like, it's like an espionage team over there.
The ultimate Jax espionage team. They got Dodie, the tech analyst. She can hack anyone's password.
Jenna didn't come over and you didn't Uber her home at 6 a.m.?
No.
You don't want to see the Uber receipt from your email? Do you want me to show it to you?
Oh, God, damn it.
You got Stassi, the human lie detector. She knows all of Jax's mannerisms, his behavioral patterns.
Did you Kristen?
No, I did not Kristen.
You're looking to the left.
And then you got Katie. She's the grizzled lieutenant. She wants answers. She wants them now.
You told her that Tom slept with your girlfriend's best friend in Vegas.
I never said that.
Then who's lying?
Jax is over here just trying to have a beer. I don't think he fully appreciates the shitstorm that's coming his way.
I want to be part of that espionage team. Because I can pretty much find out anything via my Googling skills.
So what would your title be?
Oh, professional Googler.
Okay. Sounds dirty.
I also hacked into Aaron's email when we first started dating.
Why?
I had been cheated on before, so I'm sure it like came from just, before I get serious, I want to make sure this guy is loyal.
And the way he would be cheating is through email.
This was back before, like, people were texting, of course, but yeah, a lot of emails. Also, it's harder to get someone's phone. It's easier when he would go to work, I'd be in his apartment.
Nice.
And, yeah, I hacked into his girlfriend's email, too.
Wait, his girlfriend's?
His ex-girlfriend's.
Oh.
I used a Kristen Doty trick before I knew Kristen Doty gave out the tip.
You just asked, like, her dog's name and where she lived?
I was like, didn't you say that she had a dog? The dog's name, and he tells me, doesn't ask why.
You just were randomly like, I was thinking about your ex-girlfriend.
I don't remember.
What was the dog's name? So sleuthy. Wow.
So yeah, I feel like I could be on the team.
Cool. I would probably, if I had tequila, be the hammer. I would just scream at somebody.
I do think that, like, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what's your mom's maiden name?
Very funny. But back to another scorned woman, Brittany. We find out via Ariana and several other ladies of the party that this is not just a one-time thing.
Is he telling you that it was a one-time thing? Mm-hmm. Or is he, yeah. It wasn't?
Yeah.
I kind of get upset with these girls because get it out on the table, all of it, right now. It's like you're ripping off that Band-Aid slower and slower. And maybe Ariana just figured, well, maybe she knows. But for her at the party to be like, so did he tell you it was just one time he slept with Faye?
But at what point was she supposed to say that beforehand?
When it was first being talked about? Like, I don't know.
Sheena's party? And she said exactly what Jack said 10 minutes later when she was like, I know what he's going to say. He's going to be like, was there something one time, 10 times, 20 times? And then literally, like, within minutes, Jack says,
what does it matter if I did two or three times?
You're f***ing disgusting. I f***ing hate you.
I would tell you if I did it two, three, four, five times. What's the difference between one time and 10 times? It doesn't make a difference.
This changes everything, you piece of shit.
I totally agreed with Brittany, and she was like, this changes everything. Because a one-time slip-up is one thing. The way that it happened, I still would be like, how was that? Like,
I
was
know,
drunk
that's
and, like, whatever.
It's like, hey, exactly. Is the old lady sleeping yet? Like,
yeah, that's more calculated. But one time you can maybe be like, we were in a bad place. He had a moment of weakness. But, like, when it becomes 5 moments of weakness, 10 moments of weakness, now you're just cheating on me and hurting me and doing it on purpose.
Right.
And that's what hurts.
Also, we got a rare glimpse at, like, angry Jax.
Yes.
I promised you I didn't do it. Shut up. I said I didn't do it.
Right. Oh, my God. Grace makes an excellent point. It was just like I ripped my chunky sweater off.
Oh, right.
That's like as mad as I think I've ever seen Jax.
And maybe that's the thing. We've seen him mad in a fighting with a guy, but even with Stassi, the only time he really yelled was in a truck because he wanted her back so much.
Right, and that was more of a cry.
Yes. This was
you
like...
You don't know what I've done.
But what does it say about me that when he...
No, I know what you're going to... No, no. I'm not allowing you to finish this sentence. We're moving on.
Yeah, you a little liked bit it. Of track of
yeah, yeah. Once again, patron saint of scorned women right over here.
We'll see the fallout and what comes out of this next week.
But I want to talk about the next Dawn because it's the Tom Schwartz. Did he cheat on Katie while they were married? Lala is telling this story. And
I know. No, I mean, it's just a sigh of like, are you f***ing kidding me?
My heart.
They made out. He was like touchy-feely
like
in New
before
York.
They got married.
No, while they were married.
But what did I do? Is this some kind of karmic punishment?
No. Mommy.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
How can he be so good to everyone and so shitty to Katie?
Is it?
If it happened. I don't know, but I feel like based on what she said later on, I was like, what is wrong with you?
You know what? I'm going to hold my thoughts till next week when the episode airs, but okay. I do have feelings. Yeah. So Beverly Hills is back. I'm so excited to finally talk about this episode.
Yes.
We start with Erica, as we should. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're in a different time now. I think even from last season to this season, Erica's fame has really skyrocketed. And, you know, she's been parodied on SNL a couple times. They showed one, but there was another sketch recently.
She's Kimoji.
Yes. Yeah, she's in Kimoji. My God, Kim Kardashian West blessed and anointed her.
Right,
that's
right.
That's pretty fucking cool.
I mean, I can't believe I said that. Be more on brand, Megan.
I know. But I loved that she talked about her husband, Tom, when talking about her success and how she owes a lot of it to him. Like, he's always been her supporter. Because I keep thinking, you know, she not that she ever needed him to begin with, but he was this force to be reckoned with, this huge attorney. And she met him because she was a hostess at a bar. She needs him less and less the more and more famous she gets. And so I always wonder, like, when the balances shift like that in a marriage, I don't know. It's just nice to hear that
he's not Berger.
Right.
I'm sorry. We had to get a Sex and the City reference in there.
Yeah, you're right, though. Jack Berger was never happy for Carrie's success.
No. Scrunchy. Moving on. No, I loved that, and I love Erica Girardi and Jane.
Yes.
I love both.
Both.
But we get to see her office, and Kyle goes and visits her.
Right, Erica's clubhouse.
Erica's clubhouse, which I really want to go to.
I know.
Putting that out there, secreting that.
Well, we've secreted and went to Andy's clubhouse, so right. It's very possible we will end up there someday.
Next episode.
But by the way, I don't want those mirror lights on me.
Oh, my God. The whole time I was like, is that a terrible idea or the best idea?
I feel like it could go either way because, yeah, you're just 2 hours later, you're like, oh, are you ready to go? No, I hate myself.
Or you have done so much in those bright lights that in normal light, you're Erica Jane.
Right. Which that's not such a bad thing.
No, that's the best situation. Ugh. But speaking of those lights and that moment.
Right.
We have Eric McIntyre here with us.
Eric J. Mac.
Yes.
So you guys have met Eric before when the Beverly Hills Super trailer came out. Mm-hmm. He's back and he's going to keep coming back to talk about one specific thing.
Yes, I'm going to be back on to talk about Erica.
Going to give the gays everything they want.
And the most Erica Jane thing she does in each episode and the most Erica Girardi thing she does in each episode.
Because, as we know, it's two sides
of the same coin.
Yeah.
And it's a fabulous one.
She may be two people, but she's not two-faced.
Ooh! And Eric, can you remind the listeners why you're such an expert?
Yes, absolutely. So I first knew of Erica Jane back in, I think it was like 2008 8 or 9 when she came out with the Pretty Mess video and single. And she had charted on the dance charts for a long time, you know, as like a singer-songwriter type of, you know, underground gay icon, if you will. So I got into her way back then. And then years later, people started talking about Erika Jayne, Erika Jayne. And it was a lot of my friends who were into Housewives. And I was like, what are you talking about Erika Jayne for? Like, what's going on here? And they were like, oh, yeah, Erika, she's a real housewife. I was like, oh, no. She is an icon on her own. Like, hold up for that. Well, like, wait a second. So that's what, you know, drew me into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Do you want to tell us about the most Erika Girardi thing?
So this will be the moments when she's just being boss-ass bitch Erika. So the moment that I thought of was right at the top of the episode. It was sort of the intro of Erika coming in, and it was her showing off her brand new office, which is amazing. And she starts talking a little bit about how, you know, she's starting to say yes to every opportunity that comes her way, like Dancing with the Stars. She's offered, you know, a couple different songs. I think she mentions a ballad that she's going to be singing.
I say yes to everything. So you want to write a book? Let's write a f***ing book. You want to do Dancing with the Stars? Do Dancing with the Stars right here and now. Let's make some more music. Let's make it today. Everything is today. Nothing is tomorrow.
And it kind of reminded me a little bit of, and Rachel and I were talking about this earlier, Joan Rivers, and how in one of her documentaries, she had mentioned, you know, like, I say yes to every opportunity because, you know, I have bills to pay. I have people to support. You know, Erika has this whole glam squad. She has a whole team of creative people around her. So she says yes to all these opportunities to keep her, you know, enterprise going. So getting this office is the first, you know, big step. But I think the moment that was the most Erika Girardi moment was, and excuse my language, I'm going to maximize my motherfucking time.
You're given opportunity once in your lifetime. So you really have to take this moment and make the most of it. So I'm going to maximize my motherfucking time.
Eric, there's ladies in the room.
I'm sorry, excuse my language. But that was, I think, for me, like her biggest boss moment of the episode where she was just like, you know what? I'm going to do me. And I'm going to keep making this money, and I'm going to keep buying these nice things.
Everything is today. Nothing is tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Thank
no,
you,
that
Megan.
Whole thing, I was like, I got to be like Erika Jayne.
I know.
Like, or Erika Girardi.
Erika Girardi.
Yes.
So that was definitely, you know, my top moment for her as Erika Girardi. But then, of course, we can't forget about the alter ego, Erika Jayne. And that moment for me came at the sort of like the tail end of the episode, right before they actually got out in Vegas when they were getting ready. And Megan and I actually talked about this already. When she was doing, you know, picking out her outfit, doing her makeup, she was going through and she was saying to Mikey, you know, I don't want any polite lips tonight. We don't need polite lips.
No polite lips.
No.
A polite lip is very basic and nothing that says, ooh, I want to kiss you or let me stick it in there. This is kind of like, whatever.
And she, you know, was talking about what kind of lipstick she was going to wear and how she was going to draw on her lips. And she said, I need some DSL. And Mikey said, I think that's good. Yeah, DSL. And she said, you know, dick sucking lips.
Never. Always DSL.
Always.
DSL is an overdrawn, overwet dick sucking lip. I always like my mouth to be overdrawn, DSLs. You know, who doesn't like a big mouth?
I mean, come on.
Yes.
Is that not the most Erika Jayne thing that you can think of to say?
Everyone loves a wet mouth.
Yes.
And I mean, she looked fabulous.
My comment, though, was immediately, but why is polite the opposite of dick sucking?
Right.
That's true.
It's the best.
How is that antonym situation going on?
I think we may have gotten a sneak peek as well at the end of the episode of what next week's most Erika Jayne moment will be.
Ooh.
Should I tease that?
Yeah.
Because it's in the preview already.
Yeah, do it.
So when they're out at the club in Vegas, she takes out the ice cube from her drink that she says is ice dildo. And I believe she shoves it down Dorit's...
cleavage.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
You're like, the thing.
Those things.
The mountainous.
It's an ice dildo. Can I use it on you?
Just stop it!
So I feel like we already got a sneak peek of what next, you know, next week's Erika Jayne moment is, but that's to be determined.
Yeah, you have to see the whole episode.
Right, we got to know because there could be a lot more.
Right. Well, Eric, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone can find Eric on Twitter and Instagram at Eric J. Mack.
Yes, E-R-I-K, just like Erica.
I know, people are going to think you did that just because you're right. an Erica fan.
My mom knew back in the day. She planned it. All right, well, thanks, guys. I'll see you next Tuesday.
So it's also interesting to see what's changed for Lisa Rinna's daughter since last season.
Yep.
I wouldn't say they're at Gigi or Bella level, but Delilah Bell and Amelia are making names for themselves. Who would you rather have as a momager, Lisa Rinna or Yolanda?
I feel like that's it's mean to choose.
It's just different styles, I think, because Yolanda is very, like, her daughters are super independent, I think. Like, she definitely nurtured them up to a point, but then was like, you go do it. And Lisa Rinna, I think, is such a go-getter that mm-hmm. she will be there every step of the way.
You know, I never thought about it like that, but, like, maybe not as a momager, but as a, like, if Lisa Rinna wasn't my mother, but, like, she could coach me on, like, never say no to something. Yeah. Do that Depends commercial. Like, Lisa Rinna knows how to stay relevant. So I don't know.
Yeah. She's in it for the long game.
She's in it for the long game. Yep, yep, yep. When her daughter was like, yeah, get rid of my pimp.
I know. I was like, oh.
Yes, get rid of my pimp.
Anyway, we have a new housewife.
Teddy Mellencamp.
Arroyave.
Arroyave.
Yes. We meet her through Dorit, through like this mommy beats and...
God, like, a.k.a. my worst nightmare.
Really? Why?
I don't, like, loud noises.
Children.
Like, because, yeah, they're not, like, just, like, I can just imagine banging on everything. And, like, did you see the musician? Okay, as Teddy's son walked away, the musician
he had to take
wiped
the mic.
Off the mic.
What happened? What happened to that mic?
I don't know. He's probably just, like, germs in general. And that's the other thing. Germ central, all those little children.
I was thinking, before we get into that, when Dorit was walking up with little Jagger, and he said, I said it too.
Now, watching him speak, he gets to verbalize exactly what's going on in his head. Thank you, Juan. Thank you, okay.
Oh. I said it too.
You do, just like mommy.
Jagger, I could eat him up with a spoon.
Oh
he
my
is
God.
So cute. And I rarely think children are cute.
It was almost my rose this week that he said, I said it too.
Just that
because he can speak now.
Yeah, that he's able to verbalize so much better and, oh, I love him.
But this is where we meet Teddy. Teddy Mellencamp Arroyave, who she says like she was an equestrian. Just an equestrian? Is that what you are?
Yeah.
Is that the whole title?
Yeah.
An equestrian?
Oh, wait, no, it's like a competitive maybe too.
Equestrian competitor? I don't know. You know, who would know Ariana?
I know. Horse people.
And she talks about, like, even though I grew up, obviously, with a lot of wealth, I'm John Mellencamp's daughter, but I'm very down to earth. And what I will say is, based on my knowledge of John Mellencamp's music, I don't doubt that.
Growing up, I lived well. But regardless how much money my family had, I knew the value of a dollar. Always. Nothing was just handed to me on a silver platter. And I want my kids to know the same. Because then you don't appreciate things. You think you deserve them.
Right. It's very, like, for the working man type
yes,
music.
Yes.
Did
Little
you grow
pink
up
houses.
Listening to it?
Like, oh, yeah.
Me too.
A big Mellencamp head over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no,
I love John Mellencamp, like, truly.
In the car with my dad, like, it would come on and he, you know. And Jessica Simpson sampled one of his songs for one of hers.
Which song?
It was like one of the first songs. And
No. Dun, 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 dun.
Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah, yeah. And she's by that, in that white tank top.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Can we use any of this?
But you know what is funny? Like, I look at Teddy, and the first thing I think is she's beautiful. And she is still beautiful, but now when I look at her, all I see is her father. Because
oh,
they
really?
Look so much alike.
See, I saw Denise Richards.
Yes, that too. And also, I thought a little bit Catherine Edwards almost from two seasons ago.
I could see that. And then maybe some
Caroline
Lydia?
Stanberry.
Oh, Caroline Stanberry.
It's like the teeth and the face
no.
and the hair.
She looks nothing like Caroline Stanberry.
I'm telling you, there were angles.
Okay, well, she looks apparently like every person ever.
So what do you think of her?
I wrote down, what did I write down? I sense that Teddy is going to be the down-to-earth voice of reason this season.
Yes.
Because but we she's do see just her... looking for little pink houses for you and me.
We do see her cry a couple times, I think, in the super trip. So she might also be like a sensitive soul, which makes sense because, okay, we go to this birthday extravaganza in Vegas and Teddy goes too. They're all cancers.
Right.
The other women do not strike me as cancers. Cancers are very sensitive.
Yes, and I would say a quieter person.
Yes.
And like Dorit, I did not sense to be a cancer.
And Erica is quiet though. But right. She
but not cold, I would say.
Right.
I was literally at a party this weekend and somebody said they were a cancer and then they walked away and me and my friend were like, yeah, we could tell because we think that cancers are like the Hufflepuff.
Well, I don't know what a Hufflepuff is.
It's not a compliment, I would say.
Like, it's just, it's like a sad dump of a person.
Oh, not a sad dump of a
person.
I'm
asking,
I don't know. I mean, like, yes, but it's just like.
Hufflepuffs are loyal and true.
Yeah, see? But loyal and true, Aaron. But not like a tiger or a lion.
Oh,
not like a Gryffindor. Not like a Slytherin, not sneaky, but just like that it is a, like, it just is a cancer.
So this.
I don't know.
It makes sense because Grace just told us she's a cancer. I am married to a cancer, and now I get it. Like, I think that there's something about that sign that I just...
Right, and Grace is clearly also a Hufflepuff based on that explosion of emotion over it. Megan knows nothing of this world.
Sorry.
The wizarding world.
Never.
Of Harry Potter.
Plug never experienced.
NBC Universal. Anyway, back to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Similar to Harry Potter in a lot of ways.
Okay, so we're going to Vegas, and there's a Birkin incident. I literally gasped.
No, it's okay.
Lisa,
it's all right.
Bitch, that's my bag. Right. Are you kidding me?
Oh, what are you doing?
You just dumped in all of my new Birkin bag.
I never.
Asshole.
I didn't go anywhere near you.
Oh, my God, this is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this bag only costs about $14,000.
Does it ruin it? Because that was the thing that I was like, well, you can just wipe off champagne.
I feel like on a $15,000 bag, I would be quite upset. If
I would too, but that's why I think that that's sort of ridiculous.
What?
I think Birkins are beautiful. I get the status symbol of it, but like if you can't afford to
clean it,
to like get some stuff on it every once in a while, maybe it shouldn't be an everyday bag.
So that happens. We're all over it. The Birkin's fine. We get to Vegas. We're in Vegas.
Yeah, Street has a new haircut.
A new haircut with bangs.
Yep.
But then a new haircut to go out in later.
Right, because she, like Erica, travels with hair and makeup people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She needs them.
Right, she does. And as Eric noted earlier, Erica's wearing some DSLs.
Yes.
Out on the town. Camille! Oh my God, we even talk about Camille's in Vegas.
Camille is here.
I'm just going to be dancing next episode.
Yeah.
Camille dancing is my favorite thing.
And I do know she is going to be a big part of this season. And it makes me happy, but I also still, and I think I've said this a million times on this podcast, I still want to see season one Camille.
Ugh, because she's so wonderfully mean.
Yes.
Yes, yes, I agree.
I mean,
the morally corrupt Faye Resnick.
Exactly.
I recognized during the dinner, it was the hair. I think it's the extensions and the blown up fake lips. But, and then I realized, oh my God, that's who it is. It's Faye Resnick. The morally corrupt Faye Resnick.
Oh, and what I thought was interesting is in this episode, we hear Kyle say, you know, I invited Eileen, but she's working. And we know Eileen is not back this season as a housewife. And I think that's the first time we've really sort of acknowledged
that she's not coming back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not even that she's not coming back because she could have come on the trip like a Camille.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe she'll be popping in and out.
But I don't know. Maybe,
she's just like, nope.
Nope. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
We'll see because I miss Eileen.
Oh. And how crazy was Kyle's run in with Harry Hamlin on the hike.
I was like, we have to find that hill and hike it.
Yes. It's probably the Canyon Run. I feel like whenever I'm reading a magazine, it's like spotted on Canyon Run. And I'm like, are there just photographers just chilling, like yes, waiting for celebrities to come down the path?
I bumped into Harry on a hike because we hike in the same area. So I was like, hi. And he was like, And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. And he says to me, so what are we going to do about your sister? She obviously cannot be around this group ever, ever again. And he was clearly really upset about it.
That is a bold thing to say to someone about someone's sister.
Harry Hamlin is getting messy.
But he rightfully has a bone to pick with Kim.
Wait, excuse me? Did you just say let's talk about the husband?
Let's not talk about what you don't want to help.
What did Harry do?
Right, which is nothing.
Which is nothing. Also just, I mean, I love a guy that stands up for his wife.
Right, I was going to say, I do like him being so like bold and like, you can't, my wife, protective, but.
Yeah.
But it's not Kyle's fault. Kyle isn't her sister.
Right.
You know, that's not fair. Oh, I wanted to talk about the buzz shopping because I literally did that like a week ago.
I wrote that in my notes. I said, when Erica said it, and said that she bought Mikey and her twin Chanel bags. I was like, huh, Rachel just went drunk shopping, but she went to Zara and didn't get me a twin Chanel.
I did buy $200 in like party dresses, which I don't need at all. I'm definitely going to take like half of them back. It was a mistake, but it was really fun at the time. But yeah, basically me and Erica are the same. We have the same problem about clothes, closets.
Lips.
Lip.
I have a polite lip. You never have a polite lip. It's not overdrawn, but you never pick a subtle color.
No, I don't like subtle.
So there you go. DSLs.
All right. Well, I'll be the Erica Jane and you be the Erica Girardi.
Sure.
Halloween costume.
Oh, oh my God. That's a good one.
Why is it December? I know we're going to get into this with like fan shout outs, but like. All of the fashion moments, like every right. scene, it's like Chanel, Birkins, like Dorit in interview in that like glitter.
Yeah, the shimmery turtleneck.
Oh, my God. And the like Marilyn Monroe hair. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
She was like, you know what I have to do? Compete with Erica Jane.
No, honestly. I think that is what we're seeing.
Yeah. They're just like fashion offing. But it's yes. like so funny because it's like, to me, it's the ultimate like. Erica Jane will always wear that Moschino t-shirt dress.
Yes.
And Dorit will always wear like who makes like a Chanel blazer? You right. know, it's like two different
styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both fierce AF.
But we end with Lisa Rinna showing up after all to the hotel room. And I guess we'll find out next week what happens.
So Atlanta this week, we see Cynthia go on a double date. I think this is like the first person to have met Will.
Right. And it's Candy and Todd.
And it's Candy and Todd, and they're still Team Peter. They very much are like...
Well, Todd's his friend now.
Yeah.
They're buds.
But we see Peter too, and she says that he's so hot that Uncle Ben is steaming up the rice.
But I'm not gonna lie, Uncle Ben looks steamy enough to boil a hot pot of rice right now.
So, obviously, there's a lot going on with Cynthia this season, and we talked to her all about her love life and who is steaming up her rice right now. Yeah. Welcome, Cynthia Bailey, to our podcast.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Excited to have you.
Yeah. Well, you look beautiful today.
Thank you.
And I am, in general, a fan of your interview looks every time.
Oh. Do I bring it, honey, or do I bring it?
That, like, all maroon
everything.
Look, I literally
killed
gasped.
It. Tens across the board. Like,
have you guys seen this? Oh, my God.
Honestly, when I saw it myself, I was like, damn, I'm good. Drops the mic. Nope, I mean, I'm telling you.
Even just now, Rachel was like, I have to go back and get my glasses. I need to be able to see Cynthia and how beautiful she is.
Taking all this beauty.
I really did.
Well, thank you. I have a lot of fun with my interview looks, and I pride myself on changing it up and, you know, being the self-proclaimed hair queen of the show, because I've been changing up since I've been on the show, which has been 8 seasons now. So.
Right.
So yeah. Speaking of interview looks, some of the other ladies take risks too, and fans are a flutter about them. I want your take on Nene's hair this season and Sheree's interview look this season. I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Okay. Let's just go ahead and start with Sheree. I love that Sheree is taking more risks with her hair. However, I would suggest that Sheree take baby steps. It's like you just can't go from like having super simple, you can't go from having super simple hair to like, you know, being like Storm. Like you just can't jump off this
Storm.
Cliff.
Storm. It's so
like
true.
I was like, oh, okay. You know, here's the good side. The good side is you took a risk. The bad side is it didn't really work out. Nene's definitely playing with her hair a lot too. She's doing the short, the long. I personally think Nene looks good with short hair, and I actually am a fan of her bob look. Those are my favorites. She lives for a ponytail. I mean, you can't tell her nothing about her ponytail. So I'm like, hey, I mean, what am I going to do? If Nene wants a ponytail, let her have a ponytail.
Right.
But, you know, everyone's changing it up. I really think that I've actually inspired the whole cast to kind of, you know, step their game up since, you know, Andy lives for me and my looks.
Yes.
And I am the, you know, I always win, you know, best confessional look. So.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was the Cynthia Bailey party. They got inspired.
Ooh. Oh, that was good.
That
right?
was good. I liked Candy's. Yeah.
Oh, Candy killed it. And of course she won because she's like super competitive and wins everything, basically. Yeah, my 50 Shades of Cynthia party was a great idea, I thought.
Yeah, you know? I loved it.
I mean, I have been celebrating my 50th for the whole year now, I believe. I just recently celebrated it again in LA 3 days ago.
Wow.
And with that said, I thought, what could these girls give me for my birthday? And I thought, you know what? I'm so happy to embrace and celebrate my birthday. I think they should have to be pulled into this whole celebration and not only celebrate me, they should come as me.
Yes.
And they did. And I actually love them for actually having a great attitude about it because this can be a shady bunch. And actually, you know, everybody really got into it.
You know, I never thought of that, but like somebody could have come totally shady.
Oh,
like busted.
Are you kidding
and like,
me?
I didn't even think about that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a risk, Cynthia.
No, for sure. It was like, I didn't know what to expect from these girls, honestly.
Right.
I did not know what to expect. But then, you know, on the other hand, it's like, who wouldn't, you know, leap at the opportunity to be me for a day? I mean, I'm just saying.
I love it. We were talking a little bit about Sheree. What do you think of her relationship and everything that's going on?
What do I think of Sheree's relationship? Honestly, first and foremost, I'm just happy for Sheree. She seems to be happy. You know, love is love. I am a lover of love. I'm single now. I'm looking for love. I get it. I get love. I do not know Tyrone. I've never met Tyrone. I've never had a serious relationship with someone who is incarcerated. So I'm sure that it comes with many challenges within itself. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a long-distance relationship, and then there's you actually can't see your man that much. You know, I mean,
right.
I guess you do those visits, right? You do the
conjugal
visits. But it's not like it's like an open schedule. I mean, you have to be, you know, it's got it like her schedule has to match it with his schedule. I mean, it could be challenging.
Right.
So at the end of the day, I'm happy for Sheree. If she's in love and this man makes her happy, then I'm happy.
So you say you're single. Does that mean Will's no longer in the picture?
I was single when Will was in the picture. I am dating. Will is someone that I have been dating. I've been dating him for probably, I don't know, about 3 or 4 months now. We met at my 50 Shades of Cynthia party. Uh-huh. Like, just happened to meet. Like, well, actually, one of my Bailey boys introduced us, and it was like, oh. I just officially became divorced, like, 6 months ago, mm-hmm. and I really don't want to rush into anything. Will's a great guy. Like, Will is awesome, and I have no problem, you know, being with Will seriously at some point. But right now, I'm giving myself time. I'm just not ready.
Yeah.
Like, I want to try to give myself at least a year to just be single, because I'm a girlfriend kind of relationship kind of girl, and I can just get right back into something right away. And I really need a minute. Like, this whole 50 moment is kind of about me. And I feel like for the first time in my life, like, I'm doing me. Like, I get to be greedy and selfish with Cynthia right now. I want a lake, I got a lake. I want to be free, I get to be free. And I haven't done that in a long time. I'm still trying to just do me right now.
You know, is dating now different than it was in your 20s and 30s?
Oh, my God. is dating now different? Is dating now different? Yes, dating is very different. Let me tell you why. First of all, I'm 50. So that alone, I mean, I know I look 27, but that's right, neither here nor there. Yeah. Okay. But everything has changed. I've been off the market for 10 years. When I was dating, the people, the older people like the older people, and the younger people like the younger people. Now it's like this whole cougar thing happened. I got all these 29-year-olds coming for me. I mean, like, honestly, like, no one in my age range really asked me out. I get, like, the young guys coming for me all the time. It's the craziest thing. I mean, it's very flattering, but I already have a child. I have an 18-year-old already, so it's like I really want someone at least. I actually had to decide on an age, the lowest that I would go. That number's 35. I know it's kind of low, but honestly, I can work with 35 and up. And the highest I want to go is, I just turned 50. I don't really want to go higher than 60.
Yeah, I was going to say 62.
That was, and that has to be like a healthy young 60, because I'm not, okay. I'm a healthy young 50, so I don't want an old 60. I want a young 60. So yeah, so that has changed. And also, you know, everyone texts now. Like, people used to call each other 10 years ago. Now it's all like texting. And, you know, Noella's dating. She's 18. So we're both, everybody's dating at Lake Bailey. And that's interesting because, you know, she's been kind of helping me out a little bit with some of the new dating rules. Like, the other day someone texted me and I texted him right back and he's like, Mom, you're like thirsty texting. I'm like, what's thirsty texting? I was like, what's thirsty texting? She's like, well, when they text you, you don't have to text like right back. And I was like, why not? I have stuff to do. If I don't text now, I'm going to probably forget. So, and then also she explained that, you know, if they ask you like, how's your day going? Like, I can just say fine. Are great. I don't have to be like, oh, my day is going awesome. I did this today. I did that today. And I'm doing this later. It's like, keep it simple, Mom. You don't have to give them your whole life story. He just asked how your day is going. No one really wants to read a whole big, long text reply.
That's amazing.
And I was like, oh, my God. Okay. And then also, she had to kind of school me on emojis. Because apparently, like, some of this food, these food emojis aren't, they don't mean that it's like food.
Okay. Yeah, you're sending eggplant. She's like, stop it, Mom.
I can't wait for dinner.
No wonder all the guys are coming.
The rain emoji isn't really talking about rain. You know, it's a lot. You know, the water, the wet one, it's a lot. And, you know, I sent everyone like a blow kissy face. Like, you know, my workers that work on the house, I mean, I'm like, I wonder they're doing such a good job, and they keep coming back. It's like, I didn't know. Lots has changed.
I feel like this season we keep hearing Peter's name come up a lot. Is that kind of, is he foreshadowing that he'll be back at all?
Well, Peter's name does come up a lot. I'm probably guilty of bringing it up, because although we're not together, and I do this on dates sometimes too, like if they order something a certain way, well, Peter orders his steak that way. Oh, did you get that type of so-and-so? Peter shops at that place. You know, it's like, although we're not together anymore, you know, I mean, I've been with him for 10 years. So, you know, his name is just going to come up sometimes. And the cast is, you know, my friends on the show, the cast, they haven't seen me with anyone else except Peter. Peter and I got married on the show. So it's, you know, we're you know, slowly but surely we're realizing that Peter and I aren't together anymore. But it's, you know, this was the year of processing the fact that I actually am single and I'm dating. Like, my girls are like, I mean, they're like a tough crew to like bring around a new guy. Like, there's an episode coming up with Candy and Todd and myself and Will on a boat ride, and let's just say they're not nice to him, okay? They are definitely Team Peter and not Team Will. And it was, you know, it got a little uncomfortable. I'm like, oh my God, like, you guys got to be a little more open than this.
Right.
Why do you think everyone is always so skeptical of people's significant others? Like, I feel like that's a trend on the show.
I don't know. I mean, I think people have been the most skeptical. I think people have been the most skeptical about Kenya's. I think she gets the hardest time, for sure, which is why I'm so happy that she's met a great guy and she's married and, you know, she's in, she's Gone with the Wind, fabulous, happy over there with her life. I don't know what it is. I know, you know, Peter and I definitely had a hard time. You know, he definitely had a hard time on the show with the women, you know, basically saying things about him that were not so nice and not even necessarily true, but, you know, still said it. So I don't know why that is. I actually try not to, you know, to get involved with the other girls' mm-hmm. personal lives in terms of them in. I always just try to be cool with them. So I don't know. That's like one of the things that I don't do. If you're happy, I'm happy. You like it, I love it.
Yeah, I love the moment when you walked away at the San Francisco dinner. Because like you say, you just mm-hmm. not are going to be a part of it.
No. At that time, you know, not only did, you know, Kenya, when right around the time that Kenya got married, she also, you know, her mom passed. Well, her grandmother, which was the only mom that she has ever known. And I was the one that she reached out to share that with and, you know, kind of, you know, be her support system during that time. And San Francisco was, like, right after that. So I was a little bit in, like, sensitive, protective Kenya mode. And I just wanted to, you know, just give her love and light and positivity and support because I know it could not have been easy to deal with that. I mean, she literally left that day to go to Detroit to bury her mom. And I mean, she hadn't even pulled out the driveway before the ladies right. were, you know, making, you know, not so nice remarks about her marriage. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it, so I left.
Well, she was recently doing an interview with the Daily Dish, and she gave a pretty cheeky answer when asked about her future. Mm-hmm. A lot of, in 9 months, we'll see where things are. We'll see how many rooms we need. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want to share with us about your friend, Kenya?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to tell the world that I'm not pregnant. No, I'm just kidding. Well, no, I'm not pregnant, actually.
she said it. She was kidding.
Yeah. The wording
okay.
is dangerous.
You guys have the exclusive.
Yeah.
I'm not pregnant. Kenya, on the other hand, I hope is. And if she's not, I hope she's having a lot of fun trying to get pregnant. I didn't get invited to the wedding, but I pretty much threatened her that as soon as you get pregnant, I want to be a part of this whole process. I want to know. I do not want to read it on the blogs. I want to be there when you pee on the EPT stick. I want to be there. I want to be a part of this, and I want to be Auntie Cynthia. And if you want to, I mean, name one of them Bailey if you want to. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
It works for a boy or a girl. Yeah.
It's completely unisex.
What can you tell us about the rest of the season?
What I can tell you about the rest of the season is I feel like, you know, just from being on the show, it kind of rolled out kind of slow. It didn't start really heating up until we got to Castle Leaks. I think it's going to be pretty entertaining for the rest of the season. We go to, you know, after San Francisco, a month or two later, we go to Barcelona, and Barcelona is definitely very interesting, to say the least. I have a little moment in Barcelona. You know, I'm really trying to be more love and light this season, peace and love. I'm always, you know, pretty classy and try to, like, you know, be the voice of reason on the show. However, I had a little teeny tiny turn up in Barcelona, but it was nothing compared to the other stuff some of the other ladies did. And I do this whole big 50 Cent bucket list challenge where I do all the stuff that I haven't done before, and I'll tell you like two of them, and I'm not gonna tell you the rest. Okay. One, I got a tattoo. Yes, I did. I am officially a part of the tattoo community. Thank you very much. I did that, and you guys will have to wait for the show to see it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, where is it?
And the other, well, don't worry about that. Okay. The other thing that I did was I kissed a girl.
And did you like it?
Well, it was interesting.
Okay.
Let's just say I won't be swimming in the ladies' pond on a permanent basis. I think I'm just going to stay over at Lake Bailey. Let's just say that.
I love it. I just want to really quick ask, Nene's bun in San Francisco.
Yes.
Did you have any idea that that was going to become such a thing?
I had, you know, I was watching it from across the table because I actually wasn't seated next to Nene. Oddly enough, usually we were pretty close together. And I was, like, listening to the argument, and it just did such a slow unravel. And I was just like, is it just really going to, like, completely unravel? And I was so grateful that Marlo just quietly got up, put it back, pinned it, and sat back down and let the argument continue. Yep. It was friends. Like you could not make it up. I mean, it saved me from having to leap across the table to fix the bun because, I mean, she was just closest. So, yeah, it was a good thing. I mean, if you have a bun and it's come and it, you know, comes off or unravels, then it's good to have a girl close by to put you back together.
Exactly. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Cynthia.
All right. Thank you, guys. Fun.
So at this point, we would usually talk about the Real Housewives of New Jersey, but we figured, you know, this was such a crazy, explosive episode. Why not talk to someone who was there on the Milan trip?
I know. Was it not insane? I mean, we sucked the life out of Italy. I mean, I think there's an X on all our faces when you get to the airport. We are not allowed back in.
And for anyone who can't already tell, we are talking to Margaret Josephs.
Yes, the powerhouse in pigtails.
Powerhouse in pigtails. Nice to see you guys.
Yes, it's so glad to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
So, Milan, where was your head at going into this trip?
Going into this trip, I was in a great mood. Melissa and I were so excited. Granted, we had just come off the Posh fashion show, which was not that fabulous, but we wanted to go to Italy. What's not to love? We were going on a business trip. We're going to be with the girls. We thought we'd put everything behind us. We were all super excited. So I had no idea what the explosion that was about to happen when we were going to dinner. No one misbehaved on the plane. We were all in a good mood. Everybody separated when we got there. Melissa and I went to do some business. Danielle and Teresa went to have drinks. Dolores and Siggy were shopping. Everything actually seemingly was fine. I was excited for a good meal. I'm always looking for a meal. So no one really knew what was brewing.
Well, we start the episode the day after this crazy dinner where Siggy drops the anti-Semitic comment.
Yes.
And I want to know what's going through your mind. Do you think, man, she just really has it out for me and she's willing to say anything? Or were you feeling like, does she really think this about me?
No, I think she was on a smear campaign. I think she wanted to hurt me. I think there's no possible way if she could think that based on my children are Jewish, my ex-husband's Jewish. I think she was upset and she wanted to say the most hurtful thing possible. And I really think she just wanted to cut me to the core. And that's exactly what she did wind up doing. So mission accomplished. Thank you very much. And it was so low. You should not be doing that. That was a really character assassinating move. And I think I was in shock. The girls were in shock. And instead of saying, you know, you're comment wasn't in good taste. I didn't like it. She should have said it when I said the comment 2 weeks previously of us even going away on this trip. She had a fester brew and think, how am I going to hurt Margaret?
Well, I wonder, because when something like that happens, do producers rush in and like, are you okay? Or are you saying I have to leave right now?
Well, we were actually thrown out of the restaurant. Danielle, who rushed to my defense, got so upset. And Siggy was very dismissive of her, as you guys have all seen. And dishes started flying. I just sat there because I was in total shock and disbelief. And she was just saying more vile things even to Danielle. So we were actually thrown out of the restaurant. But producers did come running in. Tried to put an end to it, and they were upset with her also, and I think everybody was in shock. We were up all night after that night. Everyone was coming in my room. I was up with Teresa, Melissa, and Danielle. Her and Dolores were by themselves. Everybody was trying to discuss. They're like, why would you say something like this? Now we have this whole trip is going to be about this. You know, she, I think, gets something in her head. She digs her heels in. And she just, you know, she's going to stick to it. Whatever it is, she's going to stick to it. And she's going down with the ship. As opposed to, if I say something that hurts someone, I am ready to apologize. I don't want to hurt somebody. And, you know, that's what makes us different people.
Well, I just really admired you this whole time because you were so calm and collected during all of this. Mm. Particularly in this week's episode, twice you apologized or twice you tried to address it. How do you stay so calm in those situations?
I think I've been in the business world a long time. I'm 50 years old. I've been in a lot of uncomfortable situations, as I hope, you know, and I think at this point in my life, I know how to behave properly and manage my emotions. And I think anybody who's at our age should be able to do that. We're grown women. Obviously, she does not. And that's also what's surprising to me. She's a relationship expert. She can't speak her mind in a mature way. All she would have to do is say, I thought your comment was in bad taste. I would have said, I'm sorry. Everything is done with crying and screaming. I'm not used to that, obviously, because I don't behave that way. I apologize to her because I hurt her. I even apologize in a way and say, I am so sorry I hurt you. I'm not sorry for the way she feels. That's the other way she apologizes. I don't like when people apologize. I'm sorry for the way you feel. Don't be sorry for the way I feel. Be sorry for what you did to me. And I apologize because my comment was not intentional to hurt her. It's not because she was the only Jewish girl at the table. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just as much Jewish as I am Christian. I didn't have to convert. Being Jewish is a culture to me, and I raise my children in the Jewish religion and culture. I still do Jewish cultural things. I celebrate every Jewish holiday. So I am just taken aback. And for her to constantly still say that I haven't apologized, I haven't done this, when I apologize, I mean it. I mean it from the heart. I think everybody, the viewers have all seen that. The other ladies have seen that. And I think her apologies are unfortunately very insincere. And it's been evident because this was filmed months and months ago, and she's still carrying on about it.
Speaking of the other ladies, you know, this week we get to see Melissa and Danielle trying to talk to Siggy in the park and kind of defending you and being like, can't you understand that she's also hurt? What is it like knowing, watching that and seeing them kind of support you?
I mean, I love that Melissa and Danielle support me. They're great friends. You know, those were new friendships, and they're amazing women, and they can see the other side of it. So I felt great. And I love Danielle, and I love Melissa. And they can relate to me, and Melissa's in the business world, and Danielle's super smart, and they're just great. And that made me feel fabulous. And even Teresa, you know, tried to explain to her. And I have to say, even Dolores was like, you went too far. And that says a lot. Because as far as I was concerned, you know, Siggy could be holding the bloody knife and Dolores would defend her. But even Dolores saw that Siggy went too far this time.
Yeah. I like that you sort of acknowledged, you know, I never knew, Siggy, that this was your trigger word, but it is. And, you know, Teresa explained, well, for her, jail is her trigger word. What do you feel like is your trigger word?
Siggy Flicker.
That was the answer we were hoping for.
Yes, and I never had a trigger word up until then. No, I never had a trigger word. None of my friends have trigger words. No subject was ever taboo growing up in my home. No subject is taboo with my children, with either of my husbands. No subject was ever taboo. Everything was discussed at all our family holidays, be it Hitler, be it Osama bin Laden, be it any horrible figure, be it any tragedy, be it anything, we could discuss everything in a mature way, be it offensive or not. And I think I just was not ever used to that anything is taboo and you only discuss things in certain situations. And that's just not in my realm of adulthood or thinking.
So you gave that apology and got nothing back. Do you now regret giving it?
No. I truly meant, I did not mean to hurt her. I was sorry to do it. You will see in the future, some sort of acknowledgement of not meaning to say anti-Semitism comes out of her, which I'm sure was coerced out of her by the other ladies to save face. But it's obviously not genuine because she's still running a smear campaign against me, which I don't even know if she realizes how disgusting and distasteful that is, and that could really, you know, hurt my family and hurt everybody I love and everything I stand for.
I mean, if you really think about it, I feel like it all kind of started because you called her Soggy Flicker.
I know. I mean, I'm shocked about that as much as you guys are. I thought it was a funny thing. I mean, if you call me Maniacal Margaret, or I would think it's entertaining. If at age 50 you can't get over your childhood wounds, I don't know what the problem is. I mean, it's a deep therapeutic issue. I would think being on a show like ours, you would have to have very thick skin. Or don't put yourself out there in the reality world. everybody is, you know, going to say something negative. It's obvious maybe no one ever said anything negative to her whole life. I mean, I obviously, people said shit to me my whole life and I put up with it. I think it's funny. And again, I apologize for calling her Soggy Flicker. I feel like the entire season I have been apologizing, you know, for being alive and being around her or whatever it is. And so, you know, we just are cut from different cloths. I think no one has ever challenged her. And I think her idea of removing toxic people from her life is anybody who doesn't agree with her.
Yeah, it's so funny watching because I think meeting you in the series, I was like, oh, they all get along. They have such similar personalities. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you guys don't, I think, was like surprising to me at least.
I think to many people. I think because we are both very outgoing. We're outspoken. I still think I'm funnier than she is. But, no, we're both funny people. We both really love our families. I think there are a lot of similarities, but I think that I can dish it and take it, and she could dish it, but she can't take it.
Mm.
And
it's a trend on Housewives.
Yes, it's a trend on Housewives. I agree.
It is funny, though, that you touched on Siggy's version of an apology in that second dinner, because right. Rachel was like,
it's classic Housewives apology. Like, that's kind of a theme always across the shows, is somebody will say, well, I'm sorry you felt that way. And you, like, defined it perfectly in the episode. It was like, but that's not an apology. An apology is, I'm sorry I was wrong.
Yes. And listen, that's been maybe because I've been in therapy in my life or whatever. I mean, and I love my ex-husband, Jan Joseph, so I'm so sorry I'm going to say this. I mean, he used to do that. Margaret, I'm sorry you feel the way. Don't be sorry for the way I feel, Jan. I'm not putting up with that shit. So when she pulled that stuff, I was like, no, that's not an apology. And I taught my children not to apologize that way. No one should apologize that way. Be sorry for what you did.
Right.
And if you're not, and don't be sorry, you know, don't be sorry for the way I feel. And if that's not a genuine apology.
Right. If anything, that makes me more mad.
Yeah, that gets me. I'm like, are you kidding me? What kind of apology is that?
Right.
And that, you know, it's very disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in the mood.
So is there anything she could do today that would sort of let you forgive, as you call it, the smear campaign that's been happening?
Well, the smear campaign has gone so far at this point. Maybe if she checked herself into a clinic. I don't know at this point. I have to be honest. I don't even know what could be done at this point. The smear campaign has gone so far every 10 minutes on social media on a daily basis. I'm in shock, and I don't know what she could really do. I mean, to really stop it.
Right.
If she just said she was possessed by the devil and, you know, I don't know. It had an exorcism. I don't know. I really don't know what it could be done to unravel this.
So what I'm gathering is you're not in a good place, have not spoken since the
reunion. I saw her at the mall yesterday.
Oh my God.
At the mall. Only New Jersey. And she was sitting with a mutual friend of ours. And I was with my husband, Joe, and Lexi. And I was going up the escalator. She was sitting having coffee with her daughter, Jill. And I waved. I go, hi. You know, it was really nice. And my husband said hi. And Lexi said, you know, she smirked and gave a little wave. You know, and I could always be cordial. I would never be rude to her in front of her children. I'm just not that person, and I could always take the high road, but the high road is a very lonely place.
That really shocks me, though, because just from following the thing she's saying on Twitter, that she would even give you a little wave.
Right.
Well, I think, you know, she would be publicly humiliated. She's with a mutual friend of ours. I'm sure our mutual friend, who's a physician and lovely, probably would have been like, are you nuts? You better, right. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I just wanted to comment on this one moment in the show, and you had said that, you know, you were up all night talking with everyone. I loved, we see you start the episode in the tub eating breakfast. Is that something you do often?
No, I mean, only when I get to have room service. I was so lucky. You know what? I needed a nice bath. I was in my rollers. I was so happy. I got in a nice bubble bath. I mean, I needed to chill. After that night, we were up all night. I was like, I need to like soothe myself before I start the day again. If I don't start the day the right way, forget it. Right. It's not good. So that, I know, that was funny. I was just like, listen, I'm just going to take a bath. And then I had ordered room service and she showed up. I was like, okay, bring me my coffee into the tub. What's the big deal?
Have you all had dinner together, not in a separate room? Since that night.
Since that, yes, well, you will see. I do have my birthday party. Do we eat dinner? No. Well, you see,
like maybe
no.
How was your birthday? I hear it's crazy. Fabulous.
Yeah. It's a great party. I'm gonna have to say it's one of the best parties on Jersey we've ever seen. It's amazing. I have an amazing party planner, Larry Scott, and I'm very blessed. And we, you know, that we killed it. We had a great time despite all the drama and everything else. So that you guys are going to get to see that, which is amazing.
Oh my God. Is there a theme or anything?
Yes, yes. Studio 54.
Oh, right.
Studio 54 yes. theme, which is great. And it's a lot of fun.
Oh, my God, that's so
fun. Yeah, I'm very into disco because I grew up in the 70s. My mother always had these disco parties, and Marge Singer was a big vixen. So we used to be doing the hustle, and she always had these dance lessons. So I really wanted that kind of a party.
Oh, my God, I can't wait to see your outfit. I'm sure it will be everything.
Yeah, it's very Bob Mackie meets Cher.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's good.
The best. So it's your first season.
Yes.
A lot has happened, obviously.
A ton has happened.
Did you have any idea what you were getting into, or what are your thoughts on your journey, I guess?
Well, I never thought it would be this, but you know what? I love it. I've loved all of it. I've learned a lot about people. It's a case study. It's been very entertaining. I've made some amazing bonds, some amazing friends. I've met fabulous fans. It's been a great experience. I can't say it hasn't. I don't regret any of it. And I think it's actually been a ball. It's a lot of fun.
Well, we know that Housewives, the craziness that you guys deal with. But what are, like, some perks that you get as a Real Housewife?
Oh, my God. There's so many great perks. I mean, first of all, the makeup. I got the best makeup and hair people out of it. I met amazing people. I get to go to great events. I got to meet Andy freaking Cohen. I mean, who doesn't love Andy Cohen?
No one.
You know, and then people get to know me and actually love the Marge, which is hilarious. I mean, Jeff Lewis. Jeff Lewis knows who I am, and I got to be on his radio show. Jenny McCarthy. I mean, people know me now, people who I've respected in the industry. So, and then I get to see my mom get attention, which is so great. Marge Senior gets to have stuff, and people love her.
Fans love her.
And people now realize I'm a gay man in a girl's body and appreciate it. you know, so it's just so many things. I've got to meet great people and fans, and, you know, and you do realize, and this is a thing to say, you know, there's lonely people out there. And you could touch people's lives that you've never got to know before and speak to them and just bring happiness from just being on a TV show, which you don't realize. So that's actually really nice.
You mentioned meeting Andy Cohen. I know you were on that big special with, like, everybody from Bravo basically the other night. What was that like meeting all those people?
Oh, it was fabulous. I mean, I got to see Erica Jane. She's like a unicorn. I mean, the woman is perfect. I said to her, I said, your face is from God. She's like, no, it's from the plastic surgeon. When she said that, I was like, oh, hello. You know, no, it was fabulous. I mean, Kim Zolciak was so sweet to my mother. Sonia, what's not to love about Sonia and Giselle? Everybody was so sweet. Rachel Dratch, I mean, from Saturday Night Live. Everyone was great. Jax, he wasn't in the best mood. I'm going to give him a free pass.
Oh, no. You know,
Kyle, he's going through it.
Yeah,
right,
he's
now
going through a rough time.
Yeah, yeah.
Kyle was fabulous. You know, our Diana Ross drag queen. Just everybody was, like, super fabulous. I mean, it was just Gail. I mean, Gail from Top Chef.
Yes.
I mean, pregnant with, like, so skinny, amazing. I just love, just everybody was so great. I was honored to, like, be on there, especially with Marge Singer. But I know Andy likes Marge Singer better than me. That's the only thing.
Oh,
that's
fine. Impossible.
No, he's in love with Marge Singer, but it's good. It's all good.
Well, you listed so many positive things, but I always focus on the negative.
That's okay.
Tell me more about Jax. Like, what happened? Did he snub you?
No, he didn't snub me, but I could see he was, like, in a piss poor mood. I'm like, Jax, what's wrong? Don't worry. I, like, rubbed his little scalp, and he was like, I could just see he was, like, very cranky.
Aww.
You know, and I was just like, all right, it's not so bad, don't worry, this too shall pass, I've been through two husbands, yeah, don't worry about, you know, and he's just like, whatever, you know, he all was
right.
Just, I mean, he had the off and on from the night before.
So that's where Jax is at right now. Did you bond with anyone over, like, what you're going through right now? Like, Jax is kind of going through a lot on his show right now. Other people have definitely had criticism before and dealt with craziness. Did you get to talk to
him? No, I didn't. You know what? I don't even discuss it with anybody else. I'm just like, you know what? This is going to pass. It's a blip on the radar screen. I've had so much support from everybody else. Everybody knows who I am. I know who I am. I have a very strong sense of self. And you know what? I don't need to burden anybody else with this bullshit.
We were talking about Marge Senior a lot. What does she think watching the show and everything that's going on?
Marge Senior thinks, you know, she loves being on the show. She loves the show. She, you know, she feels bad for me. She's like, oh my God, Margaret, that's horrible. I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna kill her. You know, she gets so upset. And I'm like, Mom, I'm like, don't worry about it. You know, who cares? She's lost her marbles. You know, Marge Senior feels bad for me. You know, she gets heartbroken because if she sees anybody do something mean to me or whatever else. But you know what? We're tough girls. We're, you know, we're from good European stock. We've been through this. Marge Senior rode over the border on a bicycle to escape Europe. This is nothing for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is she getting any more action since she's been on the show?
Yeah, I think Marge Senior gets a lot of attention. And, you know, she, I don't, it's, because I'm TMI Marge, she's TMI Marge too. I don't want to know everything that's going on, but she's definitely gets a lot of action, Marge Senior.
Any second dates with that accountant, man?
Her and Steve, I think, have been on other dates. But, you know, they've always had a flirtation. He's he's coming for the Christmas holiday.
Oh,
we'll be reaching out for an update.
I know.
Any, like, last thoughts or anything about this season that you wanted to say?
No, I mean, you know, keep watching and watch the reunion. It's great. You guys get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we go out with a bang.
Right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, girls. Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, it's time for Rose and Thorn. My rose this week are actual roses because I could not get over Lisa Vanderpump's rose lapels that she was serving all Vanderpump Rules.
Right.
Like she had several, like one was a cape, one was a sweater.
She just loves
was
a
like,
rose.
Yeah, I was just like really into them. Not to just mention in general, like, all of the fashion moments on Bev Hills this week.
Right.
Oh, my God. I could go on.
Thorn?
It's like a sweet thorn, but it's a thorn because I love Shrey so much, and I'm sure this conversation was, like, so unbelievably hard, and it was, like, hard to watch when she was talking to her kids about domestic violence and right. their dad.
You know, I just kind of kept you guys, you know, away from, you know, didn't let you guys know what was going on. I just put on a happy face, but it was very toxic.
And when they said,
you know, we think you're like Wonder Woman, so we just want to see you be happy and grow and...
You've been everything for us.
I was like, I mean, I cry about everything, but like, it just was so touching and beautiful and like just made me so sad.
My rose this week was in Vanderpump. We got a flashback of crazy James Kennedy and from last season when he's in the bar and he is using his drink to simulate jacking off and coming.
I can see it. I'm like doing it now. And it's like all the coming out.
Drink like being spewed at people. It was just like, ugh. I love drunk James.
Aww.
I love drunk all of them. Right. Like, I just like watching it a lot. So.
It's great, Rose.
Yeah.
And Thorn?
I have two. My Thorn was the awkwardness I felt watching Portia on her blind date. With a guy that, how could this matchmaker possibly think this was a match?
Is that a joke?
That's what a joke.
No, I mean, like, what?
Yeah.
Just like on a basic, like, Portia is beautiful.
Right.
But maybe they thought that, like, she wanted a man. But even vibe wise, I feel like her personality is so big and he was so, like,
yes,
not vibing with her whatsoever.
My other thorn is that Atlanta's going to be off for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, I know. It's a bummer.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. And Kim comes back, like, later.
Right. Maybe it's something to look forward to in the new year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Get you through those holidays.
Totally. Do you want to do some fan shout-outs?
Yes.
Fan shout-outs.
It's just a bird, you guys.
Okay, my first...
Oh, my God, I didn't see this one. And they Rachie robbed me. How did I miss it? Anyway, sorry.
Do you want to go?
Yeah, it's at Isaiah Jovan. You know what time it is. Lunch and daily dish time. Hashtag daily dish time. Hi, I'm Megan Segura, and hi, I'm Rachie Robb, and Jack's f***ing cheated. Yes, queens.
So
cute.
Not gonna lie, we really liked the beginning this last week.
Yeah, we kind of replicated it this week. Yeah. At Hoffman Jess, Dorit has a different outfit in every shot this coming season. If I was on Real Housewives, you'd be able to create a post-season montage of me in my Star Wars leggings, sleeping, at work, at parties. And I'm right there with you. I wear the exact same, like, uniform of pajamas every day after work. So it's funny that in Beverly Hills on the show, like, these women are in a different outfit moment to moment to moment. It's like, who does that?
Dorit Kemsley.
Yeah. And Erica, too.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
I don't have a team, unfortunately.
Someone tweeted this with hashtag Bravo Daily Dish, and it was like, exactly how I felt with my feelings exactly. Come on, Jax. And then the gif is that moment, like historic moment for America's Next Top Model of Tyra Banks going, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. And I was like, that's how I felt too.
Yes, totally.
I was rooting for this relationship.
And of course, I have to shout out at Becky No Blog. December 14th, 2017, the day I was finally able to tell Rachie, Rob, and Meg Segura's voices apart while listening to their podcast.
And I sound like Selena Gomez.
Yes, according to at Jordan Marie times three.
Thank you. That was Rachel. Please keep tweeting at us.
You can always tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish, or reach out to us just on our own. You can find me at Meg Segura on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me on Twitter at Rachie Robb and me on Instagram at Suspiciously Small.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Mm-hmm.